This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by PDS Debt. On May 25, 1961, President John F. Kennedy made a bold and seemingly impossible challenge to Congress.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal, before this decade is out, of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the Earth.
That challenge accelerated the space race between the United States and the Soviet Union. The first superpower to land on the moon wouldn't just plant a flag, give a speech, and grab a few moon rocks. Dominion over the moon would be a source of national pride, technical superiority, and military supremacy. By 1965, lunar probes from the US and the USSR were sending back the first pictures of the dark side of the moon. That's when the world's two greatest superpowers realized they were too late. The moon had already been claimed, just not by humans.
Yeah, human! Human! Thank goodness!
What is it now?
I need the company credit card. It's an emergency!
Nope. Last time I let you use the card, you spent $3,000 at Home Depot.
So what? I was trying to do something nice for your wife.
So you bought her a jackhammer?
Well, I overheard her asking you for one. So, last night Dirty and I were watching 9.5 Weeks.
Please don't.
And it gave us a great business idea. We just need a little dough to get it going.
Another business. What is it this time?
We're making homemade jam. We're calling it toe jam.
Jam?
That's a sweet food made from fruit and sugar, boiled to a thick consistency.
I know what jam is!
My baby personally mashes the fruits with a camel toes. Gives it a natural, earthy taste. We've been experimenting with some interesting flavors.
Look, I don't even want
to... We got the berry sticky beaver. That one's made with fresh, squeezed beaver musk.
I said I don't
want... Oh, our favorite is Sea Jam Delight.
Is that what was on my toast this morning?
Oh, yeah, pretty good, huh?
And it tasted like wet dog and prunes.
That's gonna be our bestseller. Tastes great, it's completely organic, and it helps you with your PMs.
Please stop describing everything.
Come on, human, we're up to our gills in credit card debt here. Only jam is gonna get us out of this jam.
Why don't you just call PDS Debt?
Oh, did you just spread your way into today's sponsor perchance?
I sure did.
PDS Debt is a top-rated company on Google and has an A-plus rating on the BBB. They have options for anyone struggling with a lot of monthly debt payments. Credit cards, personal loans, collections, medical bills. Everyone with over $10,000 or more in eligible debt qualifies.
Yeah, but my credit score might make this a little less sticky.
Well, there's no minimum credit score required. Bad and fair credit is accepted. You can save thousands in interest and fees and pay off your debt in a fraction of the time. PDS is giving our qualified viewers a free debt analysis just for completing the 30-second online assessment at www.pdsdebt.com/files.
That's pdsdebt.com/files.
You got it.
So no jams.
No jams. Wait, are you crushing fruit in my bathtub?
Nah, you can stop crushing those plums, honey. Yeah, no, the fruit, you, yeah, you dirty, naughty camel. Hang on, let me ask him. Hey, human, do you mind if we borrow that jackhammer?
It's July 21st, 1969, and the man referred to as the Forgotten Astronaut isn't here to touch the surface of the moon. That job belongs to Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, who are 60 miles below. Michael Collins orbits the moon, completely alone in space.
I think you mean Michael Collins is alone in his trailer, while Neil and Buzz are on the soundstage, being dangled by wires or whatever.
Okay, we know that you think the moon landing was fake.
As phony as a $2 bill.
$2 bills are real.
You'll believe anything.
Since we're talking about what the astronauts saw on the dark side of the moon, we're going to have to assume that they were there.
Go ahead. I like science fiction.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
While Armstrong and Aldrin take the historic first steps for mankind, Collins heads toward the dark side, or far side of the moon.
It's technically not dark at all. We just call it that because we never see it. For the next 21 hours, Collins orbits the moon alone in the command module. Radio signals can't reach Collins without line of sight to Earth. So for 47 minutes of every lunar revolution, he's completely cut off from the rest of mankind.
I am alone now. Truly alone. And absolutely isolated from any known life. I am it. If account were taken, the score would be 3 billion plus 2 over on the other side of the moon, and 1 plus God knows what on this side.
Every time he's there, he loses all communication. Well, all human communication. In his headset, Collins hears an eerie sound.
Had I not been warned about it, it would have scared the hell out of me.
Every astronaut in the Apollo program is aware that they are not alone. Apollo 10 launched in May 1969, and their radio picked up a strange signal on the far side of the moon. They described it as whistling space music.
That music even sounds outer spacey, doesn't it? You hear that? That whistling sound?
Yeah.
Woo! Richard. Yeah, it sounds like, outer space time music.
Hearing it, you might think it's a transmission from Earth, but that's not possible. Apollo 10 was on the far side of the moon, where radio waves can't reach. Whatever these sounds were, they were definitely coming from somewhere on the far side of the moon. After the mission, NASA put the sound recordings in a vault.
NASA's vault, also known as the Shredder.
Well, that's true. The original high-quality recordings of the moon landings are gone. NASA said they either lost them or recorded over them. They're not sure.
Or they never went up to the moon, and losing the tapes is a convenient way to cover it up.
Or that. While Michael Collins is hearing eerie sounds coming over the radio, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin are having their own encounter on the moon's surface. But they aren't hearing things. They're seeing them. NASA may have lost the tapes, but we still have transcripts of radio communications. There are hours and hours of conversations between the astronauts, ground control, even the President of the United States. But here's something strange. 2 minutes of radio communications are missing.
Uh-huh.
But we do have the transcripts of those minutes. And the transcripts explain why the audio is missing. The astronauts definitely saw something on the moon.
No, not enough to believe. No one's gonna believe this.
Whistle. I say that there were other spaceships. They're lined up on the other side of the crater. There they are, and they're watching us.
Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong planted an American flag on the surface of the moon. The entire world watched them do it. But they left something else, something that we didn't see. Within a few feet of the first boot print made on the moon lies a small white cloth pouch. Inside that bag is a gold olive branch, a symbol of peace. Also in the bag is a disc.
Ooh, I hope they left a copy of Journey live in Houston.
They didn't.
That's too bad. The escape tour was where I met my second wife.
Do you mind if
my first wife paid for the tickets.
The disc...
The little orange fish who grew up with a crazy wish. He took a midnight bowl going anywhere. What? You didn't see that coming?
Unfortunately, I did. The disc was made of silicon and about the size of a half-dollar coin. Etched onto the disc are letters so small, you can only read them under a microscope. The disc had messages of goodwill from NASA and 73 world leaders. Now, why bring messages of peace to an empty world? Because the Apollo 11 crew was warned that when they landed on the moon, they wouldn't be alone. Back in 1965, the crew of Gemini 4 experienced the first recorded UFO sighting in space. It's in the radio transcript from astronaut James McDivitt.
I just saw something else up here with me, but just as I was getting close enough to it to take a good picture, the sun got in the way and I lost it. big arm sticking out of it, it looked like. I only had it for just a minute.
After that sighting, NASA astronauts created code words for UFOs, like bogey, Santa Claus, and fire. When Apollo 8 went into lunar orbit in 1968, the crew saw a Santa Claus. We have Jim Lovell's report to Houston.
Apollo 8, loud and clear.
Roger. Please be informed there is a Santa Claus.
That's a Sunday. Yeah, the best one to know.
Is there something on the moon that NASA doesn't want us to know? The answer, of course, is yes. Do we know what they're hiding? Well, thanks to a few whistleblowers, that answer is also yes. It was 1965 when Airman Second Class Carl Wolf was summoned to NASA's Lunar Orbiter Project facility. He was in a hangar surrounded by scientists. But what struck him was these scientists weren't just from NASA or just from America. They were from all over the world.
And the first thing I thought to myself, if this is NASA, what are all these foreigners doing here? What are all these people from other countries speaking other language? Didn't make any sense to me.
And they looked concerned.
You know, what are all of these people doing here? And they were very quiet, very reserved, and there was a very peculiar pall hanging over them. They had a very concerned demeanor.
Carl was just a technician. He was there to fix a piece of equipment that processed images from the lunar satellites. So he went into the dark room where the imaging equipment was. Now, while waiting for clearance to move the equipment to a better workspace, another airman working there shows Carl something life-changing.
About 30 minutes into the process, he said to me, in a very distressed way, by the way, we've discovered a base on the backside of the moon. And then he proceeded to put photographs down in front of me, and clearly in these photographs were structures, mushroom-shaped buildings, spherical buildings, and towers.
So Carl finishes the job and goes home. He was excited to learn more about these moon bases on the evening news. That news report would never happen. Then Carl realized there was a cover-up, and he was part of it. So he blew the whistle and started doing interviews. During a national press conference in 2001, he said he was willing to go before Congress under oath.
And I will testify under oath before Congress that what I'm saying is the truth.
He never got to testify.
No, here we go. Please say he's alive and well and didn't die in a mysterious unsolved case with no suspects.
Well,
he died in a mysterious unsolved case with no suspects, didn't he?
While on a bike ride near his home, Carl Wolf was hit by a truck and killed.
Son of a bitch.
But Carl wasn't alone. Dr. Ken Johnston also knew NASA was lying. From 1969 to 1972, Johnston worked with NASA as an aerospace engineer at their lunar receiving laboratory. If something came back from the moon, he helped catalog it, including photos taken by the Apollo astronauts. And what he saw was stunning. There were photos of alien cities and ancient machinery. There were ruins, domed buildings, stone towers, and objects that seemed to defy gravity. A supervisor asked him to destroy all the photos of the moon's surface. Johnston did, but he secretly held on to one set of pictures. After he came forward in 1995, Dr. Johnston was dismissed and never worked for NASA again. Donna Hare is another former NASA employee with secret clearance.
I was talking to one of the techs in there, and he drew my attention to a photograph, a NASA photograph. It had a dot on it, and I said, "What is that?" Well, he drew my attention to it, and I said, "Is that a dot on the emulsion?" And he's smiling, and he has his hands crossed, and he said, "Round dots on the emulsion don't leave round shadows on the ground."
She said that NASA scrubbed UFO and alien anomalies from their photos, sanitized for our safety.
And by its very nature, UFO, and I wanted to clarify that to a gentleman that was talking to me, means unidentified. So I did not know what this was. But I realized at this point that it's very secret, that it was kept secret, because I asked him, what are you going to do with this piece of information? And he said, we always airbrush these out before we sell them to the public.
Robert Dean was a U.S. Army major who worked for NATO. In 1964, he saw a report called The Assessment. This report covered an alleged 1961 UFO incident with dead aliens. Dean claimed that NASA destroyed 40 rolls of film from the Apollo missions. Some of the saved pictures are of cigar-shaped objects seen by Neil Armstrong. There's a picture of a disc the astronauts saw as they orbited the moon. There are also pictures of huge buildings in the Landsberg crater.
The astronauts in orbit above the moon were particularly fascinated by the Landsberg crater. There was construction going on. There were gigantic facilities in the crater up there. So they were specifically delegated and assigned to photograph Landsberg to see if they could figure out what the hell was going on down there. While they were looking at Landsberg, this object happened to express interest in them and flew by.
These were the pictures of objects that appeared outside the astronauts' windows. Time and again, mysteries of the far side of the moon were discovered and documented. Time and again, they were suppressed. Time and again, brave witnesses have come forward to expose this suppression. Time and again, many of those witnesses died before they could testify. NASA says we should trust them, but not whistleblowers. But how can we trust NASA when we know for a fact that they alter images? I did a whole episode on how NASA photoshopped pictures of Mars and the Earth, and some of their editing was pretty sloppy.
NASA Mars cover-up link down the alley, Sally.
In 1994, the Clementine orbiter took 2 million pictures of the moon's surface. When they were released to the public, people started noticing that many of them had sections that were blurred out. Here's an image of the Zeeman crater. Clearly, something is being censored. When other images of the crater were overlapped, compressed, and compared, it became obvious that something was there. This became known as the Zeeman object. Some people think this object is a giant spacecraft as large as a city. It's thought to be a ship because another picture of the Zeeman crater has been censored and shows a different object. When compared, overlapped, and enhanced, there appears to be another large ship. Now, don't bother looking for the censored images on NASA's website. They're gone. Other anomalies have been spotted, like giant footprints. Scientists have tried to explain them away as meteor impacts, but that's probably not what they are.
These structures that we see stretching over tens of kilometers across the lunar surface do not appear to be related to impact cratering processes.
Pyramids have been found on the moon's surface, obelisks and mile-high towers. As recently as 2021, China's moon rover took a picture of what's been called a mystery hut. NASA has explanations for all of these. They're tricks of the light, or pareidolia, where your mind sees an object in randomness, like a cloud shaped like an animal. Now, of course, we could know for sure if we would actually visit these structures, but there doesn't seem to be an appetite for that. Before the lunar missions, both the US and Russia planned to establish military bases on the moon. The original plan for the moon was not exploration, but weaponization. The US called its plan Project Horizon. And let me know if you want to see a full episode about this. It's pretty intense. So in the 1950s, getting to the moon was a major priority.
We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone. and one we intend to win.
In the 1960s, both the United States and the Soviet Union scrambled to get a man on the moon.
Zero, all engine running.
It is for these reasons that I regard the decision last year to shift our efforts in space from low to high gear as among the most important decisions that will be made during my incumbency in the office of the presidency.
And do it first.
The U.S. got there first.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
The Soviet program was set back by a few failures, but they kept trying. Apollo 17 was the last manned mission to the moon. That was December 1972. Although more missions were planned, the United States canceled them. In 1972, the Soviet lunar program was no longer a priority. And in 1974, the Soviet Union officially canceled its program. Now, if I were a conspiracy theorist, I would think that both the U.S. and the Russian government, despite being enemies, agreed to stay away from the moon. In 1972, the only way those two countries would agree on anything was if they were forced to. The USSR and the US were the only superpowers on Earth, but there was another bigger superpower, and this one was on the moon. Astronauts of the Apollo missions hearing and seeing things, bases on the far side of the moon, whistleblowers uncovering proof. This story is full of wild claims, but let's break it down. The transcript of Apollo 11 seeing spaceships on the moon is unofficial, meaning probably fake. Someone supposedly captured the recording with an amateur ham radio and transcribed it. The Apollo 10 sounds were real. All three astronauts heard something when they went to the far side of the moon. But NASA says it was just interference between two different radios. But astronaut Al Warden doesn't buy that theory.
The Apollo 10 crew is very used to the kind of noise that they should be hearing. Logic tells me that if there was something recorded on there, then there was something there.
Well, I don't know what the hell that was, babe.
The Apollo 10 astronauts never publicly discussed the sounds. Apollo 8 said they saw Santa Claus because they were in space on Christmas Eve. It was just a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Morning, Apollo 8. Deke here. I'd just like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas on behalf of everyone in the control center and I'm sure everyone around the world. None of us ever expect to have a better Christmas present than this one. Hope you get a good night's sleep from here on and enjoy your Christmas dinner tomorrow and look forward to seeing you in Hawaii on the 28th.
Okay, leader, we'll see you there. That was a very, very nice ride, that last one. This engine is as smooth as glass.
Yeah, we gathered that. An outstanding job all the way around.
Now, the gold olive branch that Apollo 11 left on the moon is also real, as is the silicon disc with messages of goodwill. Buzz Aldrin almost forgot to place it, and Neil Armstrong had to remind him.
Oh, if he forgot it, they could have done another take. Kubrick was famous for doing lots of takes in his movies.
This episode is not about the Stanley Kubrick conspiracy.
Stanley Kubrick moon landing video below.
Thanks for that.
Neil, Buzz, everybody back to one. Camera rolls, sound speeding, and action with the flag thing.
Okay, we get it. As for the whistleblowers, well, as most whistleblowers do, they receive a lot of scrutiny. Critics say people like Ken Johnston and Donna Hare never worked as closely with NASA as they claim. Johnston only worked for companies contracted with NASA, and after he made his claims about stolen photos, he never worked at NASA again. Also, his story has changed a bit over the years. A lot of Johnston's moon photos have been debunked. Well, in my opinion, not fully debunked, but there are valid challenges to his photos. In the description, I link to the book Dark Mission by Richard Hoagland and Mike Barra. Dark Mission shows a lot of these photos. It's worth checking out, and you can make up your own mind. There you go, Barra. You got a plug. You happy? I'm teasing. To be fully transparent, Mike contributes to this channel. He's one of the people who got me interested in the moon. But I'm being honest when I say I read Dark Mission when it first came out, and Richard Hoagland was one of my favorite guests that Art Bell would have on Coast to Coast. So the book is fun, and the link is below. Now, back to the whistleblowers. Donna Hare was also a contract worker. Her clearance was relatively low, and she made that clear. But the only proof we have of her story is what she says.
And I was just amazed that they had a protocol in place for getting rid of UFO pictures.
The same is true for Carl Wolf. He was very much who he said he was, but the only evidence we have of what Carl saw is what Carl said he saw.
We walked over to one side of the lab and he said, "By the way, we've discovered a base on the backside of the moon." And I said, "Whose?" "What do you mean, whose?"
The whistleblower stories are compelling. To me, Carl Wolf sounds sincere, but without hard evidence, there's no way to know for sure. Now, I'm glad whistleblowers come forward, but always be skeptical of them. Some of them are telling the truth, and some are just spreading disinformation for Air Force intelligence. Which ones are telling the truth? I have no idea. And I think NASA and the US military like it that way. If there's any hard evidence about bases or ancient ruins on the moon, NASA has it, and if they do, it's classified, and we're not gonna see it. But hard evidence or not, the moon is weird. No matter how wide a crater is, the depths are pretty uniform. It rings like a bell for hours when struck. It's too large and too close to the Earth. No other planet in our solar system or any other solar system has a moon like ours. The moon shouldn't even be there.
Hello, Moon Theory Link on the DL.
And the far side is even stranger. It's completely different from the side that faces us. We first learned this in 1959. That's when the Soviet space probe Luna 3 took the first pictures of the moon's far side. It's paler. Its craters are several miles wide and completely cover the entire back surface. The crust is 30 miles thicker than the crust on the side that we see. Scientists theorized the moon formed from two separate moons that slowly collided into one. But it's odd that one side of the separation perfectly faces us and the other side is perfectly hidden. That's a strangely accurate space collision.
Oh, so this theory says the moon is like a McDLT.
How's that?
One side cold, one side hot, but forms a perfect burger.
Well, it's just a theory.
The McDLT is not a theory. It's a delicious fact.
I'm talking quarter pound of beef on the hot, hot side. The new McDLT.
Those were pretty good burgers. I don't know why they didn't bring those back. Well, it took 50 years, but there's finally renewed interest in the moon. Just last week, China's Chang'e 6 mission collected the first samples ever retrieved from the far side of the moon. NASA plans to send astronauts to the lunar South Pole in 2026 as part of its Artemis 3 mission. India, Russia, and Japan have lunar missions planned. Same with the European Space Agency, South Korea, the UAE. Looks like we're in a space race once again. And private companies have also joined the race. SpaceX, Blue Origin, Firefly, and at least five other American companies have moon missions planned. At least 10 other non-American companies are also going. This is exciting, but I still have this nagging thought. There are a few former astronauts, a few whistleblowers, and even a few remote viewers who claim they saw aliens on the moon. And they say those aliens are not friendly. But we're going. Within the next 10 to 20 years, the moon is going to be a very crowded place. Whatever's up there, we're going to know about it. And if it turns out that aliens are on the moon, then one of two things happens. One, it's the greatest discovery of the human race. Or two, it's the end of it. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. My name is AJ, that's Ecclefish.
Ciao, you spicy meatball.
This has been The Y-Files. Jet Butter learned anything, do him a favor, subscribe, comment, share, like. That stuff really makes him happy. Like most topics we cover on the channel, today's was recommended by you. So if there's something you want to see or learn more about, go to theyfiles.com/tips. And remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. Twice a week, I post deep dives into the stories we cover here on the channel. I also post episodes that wouldn't be allowed on the channel. Those are called Unredacted. Anyway, the podcast is called, wait for it, the Y-Files Operation Podcast. It's available everywhere you get your podcasts. Now, in between episodes, if you need more Y-Files in your life, and not everyone should have more, but some people need it, check out our Discord server. We're over 50,000 members over there. 24/7, there's someone talking about the same weird stuff that we're into here. It's a great community, it's a lot of fun, and it's free to join. And if you want to know what's going on with the Y-Files at any given time, check out our production calendar. It's at theyfiles.com/cal, and we post our episode schedule, podcasts, live streams, everything. Special thanks to our patrons who make this channel possible. You make this episode possible. You made my life possible. Every episode of The Y-Files is dedicated to our Patreon members. I really don't deserve the support that you give, but I'm grateful for it. And if you'd like to support the channel, consider becoming a member on Patreon. It's as little as $3 a month, and you get access to perks like videos early with no commercials, merch only available to members, plus you get 2 private live streams every week just for you. The whole Y-Files team is on the stream, and you're welcome to turn on your webcam, ask a question, ask personal questions, talk about anything you like. The conversation always gets a little weird, but it's always fun. I think it's the best perk to be a Patreon member. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store.
Grab a heck of a t-shirt, one of these coffee mugs with my face on it, then you stick your fist in there, a hoodie with my face, or something with my face on it. Don't forget these squeezy animals, squeezy talking fish toy dolls. They talk at everything.
Those are the plugs, and that's going to do it. Until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
A secret code inside the Bible said I was. I love my UFOs and paranormal fun, as well as music, so I'm singing like I should. But then another conspiracy theory becomes the truth, my friends, and it never ends. No, it never ends. Cat and got stuck inside Mel's home with MK Ultra. I've been only too aware. Did Stanley Kubrick fake the moon landing alone on a film set, or were the shadow people there? The Roswell aliens just fought the smiling man, I'm told, and his name was Cold. And I can't believe I'm dancing with the Fish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the Y-Files happening all through the night. All I ever wanted was to just hear the truth, so the Y-Files on repeat all through the night. The Mothman sightings and the solar storm still come to a god, the secret city underground. Mysterious number stations, planet Serpo 2, Project Stargate, and what the Dark Watchers found.
In a simulation, don't you worry though,
the Black Knight satellite, it told me so. I can't believe on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the Y-Files happening all through the night. All I ever wanted was to just hear the truth, so the Y-Files happening all through the night. Head for fish on Thursday nights with AJ2 and the Y-Files happening all through the night.
camouflage.